Behind the News, we are live on all our FM stations across the country and also live across the globe on www.gbcghana.com. To our very first story, Northern Regional Minister Salif Usaid has asked all metropolitan, municipal and district assemblies in the region to disregard the content of a circular purported to be coming from the Regional Coordinating Council, urging them to contribute 5,000 Ghana cedis each ahead of President Akufo-Addo's tour of the region. The said circular was dated 29th of September this year and created the impression that the MMDAs were to fund the tour of the president. In a reaction, the regional minister said the content ought to be disregarded and that it has no official backing. Tonight, we examine this issue and even ask what difference it will make if the MMDAs or Office of the President fund the tour of the President of the Republic. After all, the money certainly will come from the taxpayer. Meanwhile, the President has arrived in the Upper West region some 5 hours ago to kickstart the tour. On the line is the Special Assistant to the Northern Regional Minister, Abdul Rahman. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News. Hello, Abdul. I think we've lost Abdul just there on the line. We try and re-establish contact with him. Meanwhile, keep your messages coming on any of the stories we're discussing. The number 0266-026-941. Meanwhile, I'll read the content of the letter that the Northern Regional Minister wrote. And then the one that came earlier for the regional ministers rejoined dated 2nd of October 2017 press release rejoined that tour of His Excellency the President of the Republic of Ghana. My attention has been drawn to a letter which was meant to be sent to MMDCEs in the northern region asking them to contribute an amount of 5,000 Ghana cedis towards the impending visit of the President to the region this week. I wish to make it clear that the decision, which was arrived at by the MMDCEs themselves and based on precedent, had no official sanction. The President has toured a number of regions in assuming office as President, and all these trips have been funded by the budget of the Office of the President. I wish, therefore, to direct all MMDCEs in the region to disregard the content of the earlier letter as circulated on social media. Signed, Honorable Regional Minister Salifu Said, and copied all media houses. His special assistant is back on the line, Abdul Rahman. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Hello.
Yes, thanks for your time on our program. The content of the letter that the regional minister signed creates the impression that the MMDCEs or the DCEs in the region took the decision to contribute the 5,000 cedis, even though that has no official sanctions from the Regional Coordinating Council. And he goes ahead to tell them to disregard it. What is actually the situation on the ground?
Hello?
Hello? Wow, it's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana.
And the television or to TV license fee will eba eko. Mlani ko TV no to wo Heniji Act 1966 NLC D89. Na bokonye ahe TV ekwe lo eketuni kedi ehia egbemwe wo ni yo he odase.
Ejigbe na nutumo ake awo TV license no to.
Me fe ni TV yo ameni chumo he lo shamri lo he ni amega eketuni ye ni di hotel ni eli he restaurant. Sini je mo he lo hai mo he ba wo Ghana City ete danu nkume. Lo amba wo Ghana City ye numai ete ke ekpa ke ha afi mu efe.
Ni chumo he ni ke television ma. Kame fene sa television ba wo shika, Ghana City enu mo da nyonkome. Lo Ghana City nyuma epa da afi. Me hu ni ho television ba wo shika, Ghana City nyuma enyo da nyonkome. Lo Ghana City o ha enyo ke nyuma edwe da afi.
Ye shiayi, ni me ankro ankro yo mi na amba wo Ghana City enu mai ete ke epa da afi. Shika o ya TV enfe eko miye, oba wo Ghana City enu mai epa ke ha afi mu efe.
Agbene, the Ghana Post Office nichumo here. Ke GBC nichumo here ni yo mamli. Ke ajina fwe ni ama amegbe. Ni amehe TV license is notowe se. Obanye owo TV ya notowe. Ya Unibank shikato here feko. Fidelity Bank, UT Bank, Universal Merchant Bank, First Atlantic Bank, Ye Transact Member Bank shikato here.
Eji obeda nichumo ake mrano yilo. Ni owo OTV noto, ni di TV license se. What OTV towe, ni ona man atapitu anichumo papa. Ke ona anuko na Chi Obenke TV Tohe Monichumoye, get your telephone panel 0302-77-04-21-0561-100-800-0561-100-900. Lo ke chon email info at tvlicense.com.gh. Lo tamo no.
Welcome back. I read the rejoinder from the Northern Regional Minister, so let me also read the first circular that came from the Regional Coordinating Council dated 29 September 2017, and the heading is Tour of His Excellency the President of the Republic of Ghana. His Excellency the President of the Republic of Ghana will undertake a three-day tour of the region from the 6th to the 8th of October 2017. In a bid to put together the required arrangement for a successful tour, each assembly is required to contribute an amount of 5,000 Ghana cedis payable by Monday, 2nd October 2017. Please tweet us urgent. Thank you. And this is signed for the Honorable Regional Minister and the person signed is the Chief Director, Al-Hassan Issaha. Copy to all metropolitan, municipal, and district chief executives, Northern Region. And so the rejoinder has a content that, yes, this is a decision taken by the MMDCEs themselves, and it is based on precedent. We have also on the line a former Northern Regional Minister, Moses Bukari Mabimba. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
George. Good evening, sir, and good evening to your cherished listeners.
How much were you charging MMDs in the region anytime a president toured the region?
George, thank you for this opportunity. In a very simple language, it never happened. I was in the region between 2009 and 2013. In the first year, I was the deputy regional minister to the then regional minister, Honorable S.S. Layina. Then 3 years till the end of that government, I was the regional minister. And during that time, it never happened. The budget of the president's visit to the regions, especially to the regional capital where he was always based, was funded by the office of the president. And let me tell you something very interesting. Our president, the former president, the late Professor J.E.A. Mills, may he so rest in peace, will always instruct his chief of staff to carry money for his trips. And we will submit a budget, and that budget is paid for on arrival before the beginning of the trip, or beginning of the tour. And I remember very well, in most cases, at the end of the tour, whenever he was at the airport for us to see him off, he would ask, Moses, has my chief director settled you? Then I would say, yes, sir, and then they are gone. It is never the case that we asked DCEs to contribute to fund the trip of the president or the vice president to the region.
So if I'm getting you, the budget is actually drawn by the regional coordinating council, and when they come, they give you the money.
Yeah, you see, before the president visits your region, you will be told a few weeks in advance. So you draw a budget and get in touch with the chief of staff. So the chief of staff knows exactly how much it will cost to keep the president or the vice president in your region for a period. So when they are coming, they come with the money. There were a few cases where the visit of particularly the vice president were emergency visits. In such cases, budgets were prepared, but funding was not immediately given. We funded it from the regional constituent council. with the resources of the Media Coordinating Council and immediately submit the bills to the presidency, and they are refunded immediately. Even if you send your people to northern region, you can talk to some of the hoteliers that were using during the period. We always rented their rooms on credit. And as soon as the money is brought, then we reimburse them.
The Regional Coordinating Council is rich. How about the district assemblies?
Yes. When the president visits the region, you know that by all means, he might touch one or two districts. The president's core budget is based at the regional capital. If the president is to travel to, say, the Yenji Municipal Assembly, the Municipal Assembly have their own budget for entertainment and receiving visitors. So when we get to Yenji, the president's team is refreshed by that assembly only. No assembly is asked to contribute to support that assembly to refresh the president or the vice president. In some cases, when the assembly was not able to provide the money, the RCC will make a special case to the president's office through the chief of staff, and then they supported. That was what was happening. We never asked any district assembly to contribute money to the center for that purpose. I know yesterday I saw the letter signed by the chief director. And this evening I've just heard you read the letter that was signed by the minister. This is what we politicians do to civil servants who work with us. There is no way the RCD will sign that letter without instructions from either the regional minister or his deputy. There's no way that can happen. And even the TCEs took their independent decision to contribute that money.
All right.
The dean of the TCE is to have written to his colleagues and not asking the chief director, because the chief director does not work under the dean of the TCEs in the region. How come that the chief director wrote the letter?
All right.
They are trying to run away from the problem.
All right.
What's the problem? Just accept it and it ends there.
All right. Thank you very much for your time on our show. Very grateful for that. Moses Bukari Mabingba is the former Northern Regional Minister. We've still been trying to get the Northern Regional Minister or a special aid. Now the phone of the special aid is gone off. I'm sure it could be his battery. But earlier he insisted that per the records they have at the Regional Coordinating Council, that is the precedent in the past. And this government is not going to continue with that, and that the explanation is that government is not going to continue with the practice which existed, and that is what he insisted. Let's see what happened in the district. Abu Kassam Bata was a DCE for Nadole. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Yeah, good evening, George, and good evening to your cherished listeners.
When the president visits a district, how do you fund the president?
Well, George, thank you very much. I had the privilege to serve as a district chief executive for Nadole District and subsequently a deputy minister for Upper West Region. As a regional minister, my former boss rightly mentioned, normally when the president is visiting the region, the budget is drawn from the Regional Coordinating Council. It's like a proposal to the Flagstar House or the presidency for further inputs to be incorporated into the budget. And once it is approved from the office of the president, they forward it back to the Regional Coordinating Council to expedite action. Now, at the district level, you only receive signal that the president will visit A or B or C. But normally, we have never received a letter from the Regional Coordinating Council instructing district chief executives or the assemblies to contribute, to feed, or to organize money for the preparation of the president.
But the assemblies take part of the bill?
No, please. For the past 8 years, we have never experienced it.
How do you refresh the president? From whose budget?
From the budget of the Regional Coordinating Council through the office of the president.
So are you telling us that when the president visits the district assembly doesn't incur any cost at all?
No. It depends on the activity. Assuming if the president commissions or cuts short for projects or an activity, the district assembly in their own way can buy a smoke or an animal and pass it to the traditional leaders or chiefs to do a presentation, you know, as our cultural norms, you know, it's normal.
And so how do you capture that in your budget?
No, please, because the district assemblies can generate internal revenue. Because this cost will not even exceed more than 500 Ghana or 300 Ghana.
Yeah, but it's still public money. I'm asking, in your books, the account books, where do you put that figure? As
well,
what?
At the district level, it's part of your expenditure, right? But it's something that is from the internal generated fund, which is not part of the district assembly common fund. I don't want us to run away from the fact that we have never contributed or assist when the president is coming to your district. No. Especially if they are students, you have to buy them pure water, you have to do some small things, buy them biscuits, fine. But, you know, contributing money to the regional pool, to the regional coordinating council, we have never done that. Like, writing a letter from the regional coordinating council to the district assembly to contribute money to feed the president or to assist the president a visit to the region. It's quite appalling. We have never experienced.
Has it ever happened that the regional coordinating council has asked assemblies to support the council with money to do something, whether it will be reimbursed or not?
For the past years that I've served in the regions, it has never happened.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on our show. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. Bukar Sambat as the former district chief executive for Nadulo. And as I said, the Northern Regional Minister, we are still not getting him, and his aid phone has gone off. But they insist that the practice has been there over the years and it will not be continued. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. You can send us your take on this.
So you know 500 megabytes are AF 5 Ghana cities this year. And then we'll be to media. Chale, and we are still here strong. Now we're down for Subisa or Sebon Azonto Numa. We'll be download the Azonto Numbibri if it's a Ube to me. Papa's your Pedulet Ibrahim Sinipa. Ube to me download on the Sinibibri if it's a Ube to me. Essence of what data bibri and the Bovo forms on Intino. Ube to me a Yenyama Bibri if it's a Ube to me. Afidia, Yamau 500 megabytes are AF 5 Ghana cities. 850 megabytes are AF 10 cities. 1.5 gigabyte are 15 Ghana cedis and a 2.5 gigabyte are enunciate 25 Ghana cedis. But star 555 hash, na ye data and shishaya ope, inti koswana downloadi, uploadi, streami, pingi, snappy, tweety, posty, na like. After all, yen ye to me ma data plans I mo do ye wa Ghana ha, if you say ye bet to me.
Glow Ghana, the grandmasters of data.
I love you, but me and young of ye you for Joshua for Kaba. Fifia, agbedela okwe ba ngon vyo fudem na yopa agbede nukuo. Enyana na chongon vyo mwa. Ple ale okwa gble na ngula agbleme nukuo unu abe, molu, ebli, elu, ple efunwa. Engon vya omel abe ngon vye ke dafu na miyapa agbleme nukuo eneo. Enyata migazan achike ke mizana na ngon vye ke dafu na agbleme nukuo echao. Aleve vye ba na nyan ngon vyo unu mikbe fwa adem chwe. Hanfi na ple achike de unu. Engon vye okwa nonoma tovuvu na ngon vye bubwa o. Aye oduna nukuwa o gagblena o kaba uu ngovi bubu o, hike blena agbleme nukuwa chan. Aye ata aminon ujo. Aleve vye be na nyabe, ngovi ya o dafu na agbleme nukuwa reshi ya yi. Ome duna nukuwa chichi ya o dede o. Wodune cho gaeme nukuwa jemye mye. Yide ife se fofome. Yita, enyabe na vale mkuda agbleme unve vye ndi shi andi. Chawa agbleme nye, na kogwa ben ngovi ya ome du nukuwa ufe amakpan. Ple se fofo o. Bobwawe engovia ome doa zire amakpa deke jiyo. Aleve vye be na lebe na wagbleme nukuo. Aleve engovia ope deke mega de agbleme agble nukuo. Yo miyako kafomo le 030-70-84-581G. Namba ya ke ganye 030-70-84-581. Na son ucho engovia ungu, ple ale miyako doda. Atengwa yo agble janya jipola ike tede miyangu na nyame kukuo. Ma jijio, miya fiyale miya uwa chikere ngovia uji. Mi jagbagba, ba miya po ngovia uji shikaba. Befarele ya cho farm radio, ble miya po radio station lon loto ugbo nami.
Welcome back. The six-month moratorium placed on small-scale miners by the government has expired. The Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, John Peter Mewu, has just announced an extension of the ban. Meanwhile, members of the Ghana National Association of Small-Scale Miners are holding an emergency meeting tomorrow before they meet the Inter-Ministerial Anti-Galamsey Task Force in Accra, which is supposed to be on Wednesday. It is the hidden agenda of government to collapse small-scale mining, we are asking. Joining us on the line is Secretary of the Ghana National Association of Small-Scale Miners, Godwin Ama. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Yeah, good evening.
And thanks for your time. Have you been officially informed of the decision by the state to extend the ban on your activities?
No, we've not been officially been informed. We just heard it on the radio. And that's so far the information we've got. But it's not officially written to us as a body.
So, how do you receive that news?
I think it's really, we are in such difficult times. For the past 6 months, we've been without work, and you know the difficulty that you go through. We've incurred a lot of costs, and those who are within the chain, the supply chain of the small-scale mining. And hearing this news is really worsening our situation. It's going to worsen our situation if there's any extension on our activities. As we speak now, licensed miners are at home, and the illegal miners are still working. Most of them are still on the river bodies, which we've also gone around to have a look at. The main ban was to save our river bodies, and if during these 6 months we've not been able to see what we want to achieve, then it will be very difficult for us to achieve that if we don't change our strategy.
Are you creating the impression that there's not been any improvement?
The improvement is not. You see, if from the Operation Vanguard itself, they even brought that issue out that they're having some challenges with those who are dredging on the river bodies, which is illegal. And per the information that we had, most of the dredgers are still on the river body, and it's very difficult for them to go in there since they are not working in the night. And also, the dredgers have a lot of people at the watch for them. So if Operation Vanda is coming in quickly, they call their colleagues who are on the river bodies, and then they will run away. That has been the way the dredgers are operating.
But so from your angle, is it the reality on the ground that we have actually recorded some massive improvement?
It depends, because for us, you know, the time the ban was before the 6 months, we did a lot of work, and our main focus, because our position paper that we sent to the ministry was that we need to prioritize the river bodies, because that has been the major concern where we're having the dredging activities. So if we don't focus much on the river bodies, then the water body will not see that improvement. So we've not seen that much improvement on the river bodies as we speak now from Fabi, because the dredges are still there.
Okay.
We visited some of our members, complained that since they are home, the dredges are right in front of, they are on the river body, and they are mining through the buffer zone to areas that they are supposed to mine. The more they stay home, then the time they will come, areas that they will be mining will be gone. You see, so we need to strategize. But as I say, we are meeting and tomorrow, and then we'll be meeting the sector minister by Wednesday.
What will you likely tell him?
Yes, he should consider us going back to work. The small scale miners, the licensed small scale miners, being going back to work, because we have our roadmap that we'll be giving it to him, and per the roadmap we are looking at the self regulating and self policing, where we will also be liking to collaborate with the Operation Vanguard to make sure that those who are working and they are not working will have the requisite licenses are out, and also those who are working on the river bodies. Because once we are there, those who are working cannot be working in the night, because for your activity, you'll be able to notice them on the river body, and then we will be able to collaborate with the security agencies to be able to deal with them. And secondly, if the more we stay at home, then the more we are losing our investment, because then at the end of the day, government should come out and say, we don't need small-scale mining. Because if you extend it with 6 months, we've lost so much. And going back again, you are giving an extension to it, then it totally means that you are telling us we should go out.
How has life been 6 months without work?
It's difficult. Imagine yourself being not having work for the past 6 months. Then how do you survive as a person? You see, your basic distance of survival is not there because you don't have any access to job. Then you don't have income, and it reflects into your life with your family. It's such a difficult situation because you are also owing people the loans that you're taking from banks. People are on you. The bank, those who borrow the money are also on you. Investors who also issue some money into your operations are all on you because it was based on the license. That's why this those loans were issued. So if you even have the license, if they say you should go and sit at home, it's quite, I don't know how governments want to treat indigenous miners, because we are looking at a lot of entrepreneurs entering into mining, and then local entrepreneurs also going in to have access to the minerals that we have through going through the due process, and they are all sitting at home. I don't really know how.
Is it an admissible fact that after 6-7 months, when you go back, you will change the way you do things?
A lot of things will change because, look, sitting at home for 6 months, if you are not doing the right thing, as an association, we are saying, look, self-policing, now we've got support from government and other institutions, then it's not going to be like before where you arrest somebody, you take the person out, then the next day you see the person. We are not going to give people the room to operate, to operate illegally. And also those on the river body, because before the even Operation Bangan came in, our task force, in collaboration with the police and then the district assemblies, we were able to take over 3,601 dredges off from the river bodies. And then we issued the arrest that was made was about 221 or 222. So we are not just going to sit, and we know the terrain very well, because we are in the hinterlands. We know most of the places, and it won't be like today you are there, within 3 months you've been real, or you are no more there, then they will send another. No, we are there every day, so we can give the information to the appropriate quarters for us to be able to deal with this issue of illegal mining. When you have such a long break and you are going back to work, you need to do a lot of civil works, your road, it's all going to cost us so much. So eventually we are seeing that government just wants the industry to collapse, and then they want the miners, we will run out of our investment. Then when they open and they say go and work, how then are you going to work? It's something that is going to be difficult for us.
Are some of your members giving up?
Yeah, it's look, how it's like you've been put in an enclosed area without a vent. You see, you don't have any source of ventilation, and it will be very soon. You see, a lot of people have given up, especially even those within the supply chain. We have a lot of linkages. You get to Kumasi, the whole magazine is totally gone. Fabricators, electricians, mechanics, those who are selling, those who give sell lubricants. You see, it's a derive. It derives a lot of enterprises. And all those enterprises are totally, totally off. So you are seeing a lot of hardship. Unemployment among miners is really high. So government should really, really look at it again. And let's make sure that we come together and then get a win-win situation for us. Because sitting home for 6 months, it's really unbearable for the small-scale miners. I tell you, it's really unbearable. And especially when you'll be there and you know as a body we are collaborating, we are discussing issues, and then it will just come on air that this and it doesn't show that sense of professionalism, whatever we do. You know, we should be invited, welcome, sit and discuss the issue.
All right, Godwin, we want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Godwin Ama is the General Secretary of the Ghana National Association of Small Scale Miners. The Minister responsible for Lands and Natural Resources, John Peter Mehu, agreed to talk to us, but we are unable to get him on the line. So we move on to other stories. And The National Communications Authorities last week made known the sanctioning of some 131 FM stations found to have committed various infractions pertaining to the law. Out of the number, some 34 stations have had their licenses completely revoked for operating illegally following the expiration of their licenses. Furthermore, owners of the radio stations sanctioned for operating with expired license, as well as other offenses, totaling up to 1.18 billion Ghana cedis. The minority in parliament has, however, reacted to the development, calling it, or describing it as heavy-handed, and asking government to take a second look at it because it will lead to a lot of unemployment and job losses. So what exactly are the reasons for this, and what justification has the minority got to wade into this discussion? The ranking member for Parliament's Communications Committee, who is also the member of Parliament for Sanerigo, is ABA, Alhaji ABA Fuseni. He joins us on the line. Alhaji, good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Yeah, good evening, George, and good evening to all your listeners.
Parliament is supposed to be, in fact, you are the body making laws for the Republic. And many have argued that take Parliament out and our democracy is dead. If there is something that is not in line with our laws, why do you condemn that?
Okay, thank you very much. Let me say from the very outset that the minority is not only law-abiding, but the minority sees to it that the law is seen to be done, and is done. So from the very outset, let me send an unmistakable signal that we are out to ensure the enforcement of the law and the prevalence of the law, because the democracy that we run is anchored on the rule of law. And the rule of law is that which regulates the behavior and conduct of both the governed and the government. And so the minority will be the last to talk about infractions of the law being allowed to stay. On the contrary, we have always insisted that the law should work. But you see, in this particular instance, and George, I'm sure you are aware that there's something even in civil parlance, in democratic parlance, in our governance system, called tampering justice with mercy. And also ensuring that democratic rights and freedoms, in as much as they ought to be enforced, must also be done within a certain social milieu. That it must be done in a manner that is fair and balanced. And so nobody, by any stretch of logic in the minority, is saying that people can violate the law or renege on their responsibilities and so motu, be allowed to go without any sanction. That is not the minority's position. But we are saying that certain things are not being done in the proper way, and that is why we are calling on the national media, the National Communication Authority, to take a second look at the implementation of those sanctions that they are talking about. We are not against implementation of sanctions, but we are saying the manner in which it is done appears to be too heavy-handed. I mean, what are we saying? We are saying that things that have not happened, regulations that have not been enforced over a five-year period, fines that are supposed to come with it, you slap 5 years fines and sanctions and give somebody just 1 month to pay. In this day and age, you give somebody 61 million Ghana cedis, a radio station, I mean, to pay within a month. That is really heavy-handed. Is it possible for that institution to be able to mobilize all the money to pay, failing which their licenses will be revoked or certain punitive heavy sanctions will be slapped on them? Those are the things we are talking about. We are by no stretch of any imagination saying that people should infract the law and get away with it. Indeed, as ranking member, together with other members of the committee, we had these discussions with the National Communication Authority way back in Kufuja about 2 months ago on issues such as this. And we thought that, yes, when it's coming, it will come in such a phased manner that, yes, the sanctions will apply, but it should be done in such a human phase that it should be possible for them to be compliant, and also ensure that one of the most important cardinal principles of our democratic process, which is freedom of expression, is not compromised.
What is your suggestion?
You cannot put a price to freedom of expression. That is so cardinal that even if you have to pay any price, you rather sacrifice the monetary value and ensure that the freedom of expression prevails. This is in the wisdom of the framers of our constitution, to ensure that our democracy is not only thriving, but it's vibrant.
How do you suggest the payment be done?
Uh-huh. So that's why we're saying that I'm sure that if we get further engagement, and we are doing this not on a unilateral basis, we accept into to that owners of radio stations and other electronic media stations have responsibilities they have to meet, and we'll never shy away from that. But we say that there should be more engagement rather than start the process of revoking people's licenses. Let's see whether we can get an avenue and a forum to engage them so that together we can dialogue the way forward for the necessary enforcement in compliance with the regulations that the National Communication Authority wishes to enforce to be met. And at the same time, they will also have the room to operate and ensure the prevalence of the freedom of expression we have talked about, so that both ways we are winners. So this is what we are talking about. Rather than an atmosphere where it will be seen to be too adversarial, that if you can't bring it within this month, all your licenses will be revoked and will clear you off the licenses. And more often than not, we are talking about if you were to slap a license, say, of 61 million Ghana cedis on somebody, you take the license, you go and sell it for somebody about 30,000 Ghana cedis. Look at the difference. So we are saying that even if you look at all these things put together, the sanctions regime, seriously speaking, is like killing a mosquito with a sledgehammer. And so that's why I say that, yes, certain things may not have been done right in the past. We are now seeking to enforce it. Let us by all means seek compliance with the enforcement. But let us do it in a manner that does not kill a lot of these radio stations. My brother, I'm just saying that, look, give you an example of a man who has not been able to walk, has lost his walking powers. When you regain it, you cannot just get up and start running. You will get up, stand upright, take a few steps and see whether you have regained yourself. And then when you are fully fit, then you can then take a run. And that's why we are saying that if these regulations have not been enforced for all these years, we cannot have to go enforce it and with the full might.
All right.
So let us go gradually with enforcement to the point where we are in full steam and we can then go.
All right.
You know, and we are also talking about a situation where you are talking about the sensitivities of human life. Conservatively, if you have at least 40 persons in every radio station, there are some even which employ up to 100. But let's take it even at a conservative level. We have about 40. If you multiply by 130 something, you are talking about 5,000 plus people who will be sent home with the closure of this radio station. Now, in this day, jobs are very difficult to come by. Even the government that claimed that it was going to generate jobs, up to now, they are present, they are not telling Ghanaians that no jobs can be generated. And so if you cannot even generate jobs and you are even throwing more people out, I'm adding to the long list, very heavy list of unemployed, we are going to create some basis for social instability.
All right.
And so it doesn't also augur well.
Thank you very much, Alhaji.
You have another alternative where you can seek the same enforcement.
All right.
And still get them to retain their jobs.
Good.
It is good for our economy.
Thank you very much, Alhaji. We are very grateful for your time on our show tonight. Alhaji ABA Fuseni is the ranking member of Parliament's Communications Committee and he's also the MP for Sanerigu. He's a journalist himself. That's why probably he's talking like that. On the line is the president of the Ghana Independent Broadcasters Association, Andrew Danso Aninkra. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, sir.
And thanks for your time. Sir, the journalists, and for that matter, radio stations appear in this country to be certain standards, expecting all others to follow. That's doing the right thing. So how does it sound in your ears as a leader of a body that is made up of so many stations, some of which are themselves violating the very laws of the Republic?
I don't know whether that is a question or that is a statement.
It's a question I'm asking.
Yes, okay, but then you are concluding that they are violating laws. They are supposed to be setting standards for others to follow, assuming that they have not set the proper standards.
Well, but how did it come to you when you heard that the loss of radio stations are not paying?
I think, you see, what is happening is that NCA has put out in public domain some application, and they have cited a portion of a total act to undertake what they have done. What we need to do is to interrogate the whole process what they seem to have done and to cite it in context of what has gone on, what is going on, and the future.
Okay.
This is where we are now as an association. So we are in the process of gathering information on what they say they have done. We are in contact with members of the Ghana Independent Broadcasters Association who are affected. We are studying their documents. At the moment, we believe that we have good grounds, good reason to engage the NCA in a dialogue.
We understand Giba met with owners of the affected FM stations today.
Pardon me?
I understand you had a meeting with some of the affected
Didn't have a meeting with some of the affected. We had an executive council, and in attendance was our council of elders. We have two levels of leadership. We have the executive council, a group of advisors, who advise us when it comes to such matters of national interest. So we called all of us together to deliberate on the situation as it is. Again, when such situations occur, the tendency for individuals to act on their own and sometimes to aggravate the situation and to take the laws into their own hands and do things also comes. So in the midst of it, what we are trying to do is to calm our members down. There are what we call investments. In fact, there are investments involved. There are jobs involved. There is a social dimension to this whole thing. How do we meet our people and tell them what to do, how to conduct their activities henceforth? So we needed to meet to discuss all these things, and that is what we did in that particular meeting. And in that meeting also, we resolved that we have to meet the NCA and present some facts across to them. And then in the discussion, we believe that we'll find a way forward in solving this particular situation.
Should we be confident that these radio stations will not be closed permanently?
That is our belief. That is what we want to. We cannot say for all of them, but we can say that in the end, we will get our side of the story heard. Whatever it takes to safeguard the interest and the investment of all concern is what we are looking at.
Are you in the know if some of them have already started paying?
I will not be in the position to say whether they have started paying. Yes, so that let me keep it that way. We will not be able to tell. But permit me also to say that the situation had not gotten to where it is all of a sudden. It has grown over the years, and again, we are using every opportunity to appeal to the NCA to keep their doors open.
All right. We want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Very grateful, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Andrew Danso Aninkra is the president of the Ghana Independent Broadcasters Association. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. Also, we have on the line George Anda. He is a Deputy Minister of Communication, a Member of Parliament for Ewutu Senya West. Good evening, sir, and welcome to Behind the News. Hello? Hello? Mr. Anda, can you hear me? Well, I think we have some difficulty with the line. Let's try and see if we can get him again on the line to see what the Ministry of Communication is doing about this development. You can also bring in your message. There's some of the messages. This one says, "Hi, George. I think somebody was hiding behind the scene to misuse state funds. God being so wonderful, he has exposed that person. As simple as that." Arongo sent in this from Bolga. AU Farouk in Tamale says, "God." Well, I have a Deputy Minister of Communication back on the line. Good evening, sir. Welcome to Behind the News.
evening, George, and good evening to your viewers.
And our thanks for your time. Since the sanctioning of the 130 radio stations, what has been the intervention of the Ministry of Communications?
I don't understand what has been the intervention.
They will run to you. Many are calling on you to intervene in.
Well, I'm not aware of any request that has come to us to intervene. What I'm aware of is that the National Communications Authority has an act governs its operation, and there are clear rules or guidelines for the operations of radio stations. There have been a number of infractions. These infractions have been brought to the attention of the owners of these stations. And until now, the National Communication Authority Management and Board, under the supervision of the Ministry of Communications, was not convinced that there have been significant efforts to remedy the infraction. And so the National Communications Authority has simply acted on this mandate, and we are happy with the action that they are taking, and we are in full support of the National Communications Authority doing as its act to operate mandated to do, clearly under the laws of the Republic of Ghana.
Many are asking whether if it is legal, and they talk of the Constitution saying that nobody shall be required to...
What are you asking yourself? You know the Constitution of the Republic of Ghana, I believe. And you know the act that governs the operations of the NGA. So I think that if you ask me a question, you yourself should know whether what you're asking is a question that that is relevant to the discussion.
Well, it's become an issue that many angles are being brought in because of the diversions that are involved.
George. There's an act that governs the operations of the NCA, okay? And that act clearly states what sanctions should be applied for what infraction. The NCA has simply followed the act that empowers it to operate. I'm not sure that there are any of those that have been sanctioned that are saying that the NCA hasn't got the right or hasn't got the mandate to sanction. In any case, if there are particular or specific instances where the action of the NCA has been based on wrong information, then on a case-by-case basis, those people should petition to the NCA. Then the cases will be looked at. But as far as the action that they have taken is concerned, the ministry is in full support, and they have the blessing of the ministry to go ahead.
GIBA and other stakeholders are asking you asking the NCA to look at the payment schedule so that if possible, the 1 month should be extended.
I'm not aware of any official request that has come to the ministry to intervene.
But if there's an official request to that direction, will you do something about it?
Well, I cannot sit on a phone and tell you that we'll do something about it. I have a substantive minister. Would consider it on a case-by-case basis and find out whether there's any legitimate request or demand they make. But as I sit here talking to you, I'm not convinced that there's any reason for the NCA to reverse this decision.
The NCA Act also talks about FM stations and the frequency, the limit at which they can go. Some radio stations certainly have violated that one too. Is it something that they should be worried?
Well, you have an NCA that is working, and I guess every area of its mandate is going to be addressed.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on our shooting. I'm very grateful.
Thank you for your time. I have a good evening, sir.
Hi. George Anda is Deputy Minister of Communication and Member of Parliament for Efutu Senya West. Some of your text messages. All right, I understand. We have Suleimana Brahma also on the line. Good evening, sir. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, and thank you for having me.
Right. What is your position, the Media Foundation for West Africa's position on the development regarding the closure of some FM stations?
Well, ideally, we wouldn't wish for to situation where a media house is closed down, or a license of a media house is revoked, or witnessing the kind of fines that the NCA communication indicated that media houses are to be fined. And I did say ideally, because we know that the existence of such several radio stations contributes to having a plural media environment, which invariably also helps in having people express themselves in various, you know, through various means and through various channels. But I think that it is important that we also recognize that as a country, we need our laws to work and we need our institutions to work. And so just as we expect that governments do their rights, I mean, the right thing, governments obey our laws, we do also expect that institutions, private or public, also do obey the laws and regulations that we have in this country. And that is the only way we can progress as a nation. And so for me, what the NCA has done is just, I mean, acting in accordance with the law that mandates it as an institution with responsibility to manage our airwaves. And I need to emphasize that the airwaves is a natural resource and is a national resource that needs to be judiciously managed for the benefit of all. And so if we, especially those of us in the media, managing media and so on, who are supposed to hold the government accountable, hold government institutions accountable, are ourselves not accountable to the public in terms of the utilization of a resource that belongs to the public, I think that it calls for some concern.
But some have said that, yeah, it is the law, but the law, the constitution itself is not sacrosanct. When it comes to serious issues that has to do with the survival of the human being, something can be done about it. And this is a clear case.
Well, it is a clear case. And when we say something can be done about it, what exactly do we mean?
They can be pardoned, for instance. It can be softened.
Well, are you then saying that the NCA should, at any point in time, decide to just flout the law and act discretionary so that the management and the board of the NCA says, well, we've recognized or we've come across radio stations or people who have taken frequencies and are supposed to, you know, pay some fees to regularize it occasionally and so on. They are not doing that. But, you know, the media is important, so just let us allow them to operate. The next thing that we would then see would be a situation where I have an equipment to broadcast and therefore I decide to plug into 95.7, which is the channel that we are speaking on. And tomorrow you hear 95.7 being a GBC station and another one broadcasting 95.7 being another station altogether. I don't think that is the environment that we want to create for ourselves. And so when the Constitution talks about there shall be no impediments, there shall not be a requirement of a license and authorization and so on and so forth. Yes, but it is said within a context. I think that, I mean, you can decide that you have a building, you've bought a transmitter, you've bought, you know, microphones, you've bought a console and so on and so forth. Nobody prevents you from having that. But then you need a frequency which is a national resource, which is a national asset to be able to broadcast as a media organization. We need to look at it from the context of, for example, this whole menace of Galamsey. The gold in the ground there is a national resource. I mean, it belongs to all of us. But then it has to be regulated and managed in a way that benefits all of us. And that is why it is not allowed that somebody can just take their equipment and go to a forest and say that I'm digging for gold. You know, if we allow that, then every individual, I mean, there will be chaos in the environment.
All right.
And that is why I think it's important that
all right.
we recognize what the NCA is trying to do.
I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Very grateful. Suleiman Abraima is the Executive Director, Media Foundation for West Africa. The police this morning carried out an exercise and some 156 suspected criminals were rounded up at Redco Flat here in Medina in an early morning. 45 of the suspected criminals are females. So what does this mean to crime in the region? We have on the line Hadif Sani. He is a security analyst. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening.
Swooped in the night, I mean dawn, by the police in an area like Red Coflat, is it the ideal way we should be tackling the criminal issues in the country?
Well, from a security perspective, the dawn or late at night is the best time to swoop or to raid, because that element of surprise is very critical. So suspects will not get the opportunity to hide evidence. They might even be caught in the act, and you have a solid case against them. But if, as it were, a suspect is well aware of your coming, the tendency of him hiding evidence or putting himself in a situation that would make it very difficult to establish a solid case against him, it's very high. And so, I mean, this is the way it is done all over the world, and I think it's a step in the right direction.
But here in the national capital, some people wake up, myself inclusive, sometimes 3 a.m., 4 a.m., you are going to work. Sometimes you may be walking to the roadside to pick a car. You can be picked up accidentally.
Yes, that is why it's called a swoop in the first place. Okay? And I particularly have issues with you know, the suspect apprehended and paraded before national television, when indeed you have not accepted for a fact that they are all, as it were, accomplices in a crime. No, they are seized. The real suspects are separated from the innocent people, and there are so many ways that can be established. And so, before you parade them before national TV, which we are so very fond of doing, and if people really understand the law and take the police or whoever is responsible to tax for that, it is important that we separate
the
viewers from the innocent people. So we don't have innocent people paraded before TV. By the time we establish their innocence, their names have been dragged into the mud already.
All right. Very grateful for your time on our show. Hadif Sani is a security analyst. Some of your text messages. George, why is the special assistant to the Northern Regional Minister running away from the interview? Is it because they have no tangible defense of the action? I challenge the regional minister and the Northern Regional Coordinating Council to put out any such directive between 2009 and 2017 in the public domain. Ambassador Moses Mabingba sent in this one. The Northern Regional Coordinating Council is levying district assemblies towards the president's visit to the Northern Region is not the best way. Napoleon Intumu Sankofa base. Delanyo Agbeyi Peduasi says, good evening. The president must use the Northern Regional Tour to speed up development in the area. We welcome Mr. President to the North and wish him a successful tour. Monica Cons in Navrongo says so. Abdul Karim in Wenchi says, thank God the president has arrived in the Upper West region safely. I hope my people in Kaliu will join the entire people of the Upper West region to welcome His Excellency the President with a share of the national cake. Mashud in Kukum Tamil says, we highly welcome the president into the three regions of the north. We also do our part to pray for him and his team to have a successful tour. Philip in Kubrisu Offensive North says, hi George, if the minister has told the municipal and district assemblies to disregard the circular because it is fake, then question is who wrote the letter to the MMCEs. Unfortunately, our time is up. Sorry, we are unable to read all your messages. My producers have been set a year. John Pobi, Belland Elom Tete, and John Akampale. Hannah Owusu-Bempah was our sound engineer. And I'm George Asikri. Good night.